So for those of you who might be first time or might have missed a couple of weeks or something, we're going through the book of Matthew as a church. Preaching is a massive part of our service here at Hill City because we believe that the Bible is the word of God. And so whenever you're preaching the Bible, it's God speaking to us, literally. And Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So in order that we may live, we need to receive God's word, and that primarily comes to us through the preaching of the scriptures. So that's why we spend such a big amount of our service preaching through the Bible. And we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, and we find ourselves this morning in Matthew chapter 11. For completeness, I'm going to read the whole chapter. So let's read together Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, the Baptist, heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like a children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father God, please speak to us this morning. Please open our hearts to understand what you want to say to us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit and that you'd send your spirit to rest upon this place to lead us into all truth about your son, Jesus, for his glory. Amen. So we're continuing our series in Matthew, moved into chapter 11. And sometimes when we're looking at the Bible, there's a theme you can see running through a chapter or running through maybe a whole book. Or we know that there's a theme running through the whole Bible. And it's good sometimes to tackle things as an overview, to get a big picture about something. But sometimes there's such an amazing diamond of a verse, such a jaw-dropper, that you just have to give it your full attention. And that's what we're going to do this morning. That's the case this morning. Don't get me wrong. There's loads of things in Matthew chapter 11 that we could have talked about. We could have maybe focused about how even the most godly people, like John the Baptist, have doubts. We could have talked about how it seems that no matter how hard you try and fit in as a Christian, people are going to say bad stuff about you. We could have talked about how it seems that there's going to be different degrees of punishment for different towns and cities. All of these things are in Matthew chapter 11. But there's one promise in Matthew chapter 11, uttered by the lips of Jesus, that towers above all those other things. And it's found in verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's here we're going to spend our time this morning. So firstly, to start off with, I just want to look at the simplicity of this verse as a whole. There's some things in the Bible that is hard for us to understand. At face value, there's some things in the Bible that are difficult to make sense of. And God has gifted the church with teachers that help us to understand. And he's graciously given the church his Holy Spirit who leads us into the truth. But this morning, this isn't one of those verses. This isn't one of those verses that you need a PhD to understand. You don't need a degree in theology from Dallas Seminary or wherever to understand this. Jesus has made this very simple for us. Listen. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We were traveling back from holidays yesterday and we were playing I Spy in the car. And the game goes something like this. Naomi, I spy with my little eye, so I'm beginning with R. Isabella, road. Naomi, no. Isabella, road. Naomi, still no. Isabella, give us a clue. Give us a clue. Sometimes she didn't even have one attempt. It was just, I spoke my little eye, so I'm beginning with R. Give me a clue. Give me a clue. Sometimes you can read things in the Bible and you just feel like saying, God, give me a clue. This is just like, even some things in Matthew chapter 11, right, are hard to understand. And sometimes we can feel like that. This verse isn't like that, right? There's no give me a clue as to what this verse means. Jesus makes it plain. Listen again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no give us a clue. And as we begin, I want us to look together at this amazing promise, and I want to encourage you to take this mindset that there's nothing that God is trying to hide from you here. There's no hidden agenda. There's no give us a clue. He just wants you to take the verse and run with it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Choose to believe Jesus this morning over your experiences. Don't let what you experience trump Jesus' promise. By faith, take him at his word and choose to believe him. Don't say, give me a clue, or don't say, that can't be right. Believe him. Let's take the first word. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first word, come. Here we see, right from the start, that Jesus is inviting people to come to him. Jesus is revealing the heart of God, that God is an inviting God. God invites people to be saved. Jesus is the exact image of God, and Jesus says, come. Jesus is not a nicer version of the God of the Old Testament. He's simply continuing to demonstrate God's heart, even shown in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 55, verse 1, God says this, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. That's in Isaiah chapter 55. Anyone who thirsts, come to the waters. God is an inviting God. And we see this in God the Son, Jesus Christ, as he says, come. Note that Jesus doesn't say, stay away until you're ready. Jesus doesn't say, wait for a bit until you feel better. Wait for a bit until you feel right. He says, come. It's an invitation from Jesus to come to himself. Jesus came to earth so he could say to you, come. He didn't come to earth to say, stay at a distance. He came to earth to say, come. And this isn't a one-off incident of Jesus either. This isn't just a one-off incident of the inviting God. It's a thing that he does over and over again. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus says to the little children, let the little children come to me. And don't hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus again gives an invitation which echoes that invitation of Isaiah 55. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And after feeding the multitudes, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. This is the heart of Jesus this morning. He wants you to come to him. He's calling you to come to him. So we see that this isn't an isolated invitation from Jesus. The posture of God isn't like that. The posture of God isn't like that. The posture of God is like this. Come, this is what God is like. Come to me this morning. That's the first word, come. The next two words, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. And this part of what Jesus says is very important for us to see, because he says, come to him. Listen, to him. For anyone else to say this would be completely inappropriate. But for the King of Kings, for God in human form, it's the only fitting and loving thing to say. Because he knows that anything or anyone else that he would point to could not deliver the promise that he offers. But listen, he can. He can deliver the promise. And so he says, come to me. Therefore, it's completely fitting for Jesus to say, come to me. We have to know this, that every other thing or every other person is excluded when Jesus says, come to me. Everything else is excluded. Every other person is excluded. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, go to the priest. He doesn't say, go to the university professor. He doesn't say, go to this person or go to the politician. He doesn't say, do this good thing or do that good thing or go here or go there. He says, come to me. He doesn't say anything else except come to me. He doesn't tell you to do anything this morning, go anywhere, go and see anyone else. He says, come to me. Please note that he doesn't even say, go to the Father. He doesn't even say, go to the Spirit. He says, come to me. Oh, how many other things do we attempt? Oh, how many other places do we go? How many other remedies do we seek for peace and rest? Even things that are commendable, even things that appear spiritual, even things that make us look good amongst others. But as all of those things are going on, Jesus is there saying, come to me. Come to me. I'm so convinced of Jesus' promise that I can say with complete assurance this morning that if you haven't found rest for your souls, then you haven't come to Jesus. Because Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So here we see the second part. Come. Yes, come. But come to Jesus. There's no other name, there's no other person, there's no other thing that can deliver the promise of rest than King Jesus. Go to Jesus. Next. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all. All who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is just amazing. That little word right there, all. It's such a tiny word, and yet it encompasses every single person. This means that Jesus' invitation, his come, is for all. Maggie told me that I looked like a musketeer with my beard this morning. What they're saying is all for one and one for all. And Jesus says, all come to him. All. His invitation, listen, the invitation in itself is mind-blowing enough. Come and I will give you rest. But the extent of it makes it even more mind-blowing. Who is this offered to? All. Amen. All. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some translations say, come to him, all you who labor. And I think this is good, because sometimes when we listen to sermons, and you might even be doing this already, we're always thinking of someone else who this sermon would be good for. Someone else needs to hear this. I know someone who's really toiling and struggling with unrest, and they need to find peace right now. Listen, I'm not even going to look at anyone. This is for you, right? This is for you, my friend. Not that person you're thinking of, right? This is for you. Come all you who labor and heavy laden. Stop thinking about that other person for a sec. This is for you. Come to Jesus, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Especially if we're involved in doing things for or around the church, we say, don't we, who's this for? It's for you. You need rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you. Do you have peace, honestly? Not that person. Do you have peace? Jesus promises that he will give you rest if you come to him. I love it. Every time I say that, I love the simplicity of it. Jesus promises he will give you rest if you come to him. This isn't me. All I'm doing is reading the words of Jesus, and he promises to give you rest if you come to him. Do you have rest? Listen, do you have rest this morning? If you don't, it's because you haven't come to Jesus, because Jesus doesn't lie. He doesn't dangle carrots. Listen, don't expect anything less than his promise of rest. Come to me all, not some, not the chosen clique, not only those who like what we like, all. The rich, the poor, the strong, the weak, the educated, the non-educated, the drug dealer, the prostitute, the prime minister, the murderer, the doctor, the paedophile, the professor. Does this offend you? Well, Jesus said all. Amen? All. He doesn't put any limits on who comes. You think of the worst person you can think of. For me, it's probably myself. And he says, all who come to me, I will give you rest. There's no limitations on who Jesus is extending this invitation to. Come, all. Later in Matthew chapter 22, we read about the parable of the wedding feast, the wedding banquet, where Jesus tells his servants to go out and invite anyone they can find. He starts off with a select that he's invited, but when they don't listen, he says, right, go out and invite anybody you can find. And the scripture says that the servants went out and they gathered all they could find, bad and good. That's what the scripture says. They went out and they found bad and good and invited them. Oh, the beauty of this word, all. It means you, and it means everyone else. It means you right here this morning, and it means everyone else. Jesus' invitation is open to anyone. Let's move on. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, who labor and are heavy laden. Let me ask you a question. What qualifications do you need to come to Jesus? Let me ask you what you think he requires. A good record? A clean past? A certain amount of good things? A certain certificate, special certificate? Well, let's listen to Jesus, because he tells us what qualifies you to come. All you who labor. Another way of saying this is, you who are tired, are weary of working. Are you weary? Are you tired? Then you're qualified to come. Jesus says, come. If you're tired, what else is required? You need to be tired. You need to be tired. And you need to be heavy laden. You need to be weighed down with worries and cares and burdens. Loaded with burdens. Burdens of things you've done in the past. Burdens of things you think you need to do in the future. Burdens of expectations people put on you. Burdens of expectations you put on yourself. Burdens of filling your next prayer letter. Burdens of caring what people think of you all the time. Burdens of wishing you had a different life. The constant burden of making people think you're okay. The burden of constantly wearing a mask. It could be anything, but they're all weighing you down. You're constantly under load. Jesus says that if that's you, you're qualified to come. You're qualified to come. If you're tired and you're weighed down with burdens, that means that you can come. We think that, like, we have to get things sorted before we come to Jesus, don't we? He doesn't say to you, come when you've sorted your burdens out. Like, when you feel that all your burdens have lifted a little bit, then come. When they've passed. Jesus says, come with your burdens now. He says, now come. There's nothing in between come and then another stipulation that you have to do something else. He says, come now. With your tiredness, with your weariness, with your burdens, with your heavy load, come now. See, the things that we think disqualify us from coming to Jesus are actually the very things that qualify us to come to him. The things that you're thinking disqualify you from coming to him, he actually says to you, no, they're the things that qualify you to come. They're the things that you need to come. If you're weary and heavy laden, you come. You bring them to Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the next phrase we pick up here? I will give you rest. What blows me away about this promise is the certainty of what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, I might give you rest, or I may do. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more certain in the whole universe than an I will of Jesus. There's nothing more certain in the whole universe than an I will of Jesus. This morning, all of my hope is in his promise to you. It's not on how I speak, what I do. All of my hope is in his promise to you. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you come to him, he says, he promises, I will give you rest. Jesus never fails to deliver his promises. Never. If you don't have his rest, you haven't come to him. Because Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I don't know how many different ways to say this. Come to me, and I will give you rest. It's that simple. But to have his rest, all you have to do is come. See, this is a conditional promise. It, like, the promise sounds so amazing that we might think it's unconditional, that it just happens. But it is a conditional promise, but the only condition is that you come. Amen! All you got to do is come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. This is the promise of Jesus to you if you come to him. Rest. For all who are weary and tired, rest. For all who are weighed down with burdens, rest. For all those who are toiling and struggling, rest. For all those who are constantly seeking approval, rest. For all those trying to gain acceptance from God by the things they're doing, rest. For all of those who are trying to become a better version of themselves, rest. For all those who are seeking more in life than they already have and are not content, rest. Just breathing out rest. Rest. The word used for rest is a word that was used in other places in the scripture, and it also means refreshing. It just means that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Let me ask you, do you need refreshing this morning? Just like that cool water just in the desert place. Come home to Jesus. Come home to Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, the same message is being preached by Peter. And he says this, "Repent, therefore, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repentance just means turning to Jesus, away from anything else, and turning to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come, turn to me." So to finish, how do you come to Christ? How do you just come? Well, Jesus says in verses 29 to 30 of Matthew chapter 11, let's read verse 28 again. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So here Jesus tells us, he's so gracious, he's so merciful, that he even tells us what to do. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." A yoke is something that binds two cattle together so that they're both going in the same direction. So they're both working together. They were made inseparable, joined together, even to the point of being one unit. The yoke joins together. When you come to Jesus, you're simply saying, "Jesus, I want to be joined to you. Jesus, I want to be joined to you. I want to be yoked to you. I want to go where you're going. Where you're leading, I want to follow. Lead me, take me, guide me." It's saying to Jesus, "I surrender control to you to be joined to you." When I was thinking of this picture about a yoke, I couldn't get out of my head a roller coaster. I just couldn't get this picture of a roller coaster out of my head. And you know when you go on to a roller coaster and there's like a two-person carriage or whatever, and it's like a fast roller coaster. It's one of the ones where you go upside down and stuff. And these things like come down over you, and sometimes they're joined together. So everyone in the carriage is like yoked together with this thing going over you. And it kind of, you're feeling really apprehensive. And then it just starts coming down. It's like, and it yokes you in to the roller coaster. And then whoever you're sat next to, you kind of look at each other with this feeling of anticipation, trepidation. Because you know that for the duration of that roller coaster, your lives are intertwined. Your lives are intertwined. You're going to share that ride together. Now listen, I know that's not a perfect analogy, like no analogy is perfect, but Jesus wants you to be yoked to him through the roller coaster of this life. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean that the drops won't come. It doesn't mean that those bits where it's slowly cranking you up and you know that the drops coming, it doesn't mean they're not going to be there anymore. But it does mean this, that every time you look over, Jesus is there. Jesus is there, yoked to you. See, when Jesus says, "Come to me," right, he's not so much like trusting in our own efforts to come to him. He's basically saying, "Come to me because I want to join myself to you for all eternity." What a savior. Right? He says, "I want to join myself to you. I want to be yoked to you. I want to take your burdens. I want to take your problems. I want to take everything you go through in this life. And I want to be joined to you in it. I want to be joined to you." That is what Jesus says. He wants to share the ride with you. He wants to give you a peace that passes understanding. And I don't know if you've ever been on one of those roller coasters. Everything's going crazy, right? But you just look to the left or the right and you see your buddy. And for that split second as you're looking at them, you've just got this mad peace, like, we're in this together. We're in this together. And no matter how crazy life gets, no matter what drops are coming, what twists, what turns, you can look into the eyes of Jesus and he will say, I'm there with you. I'm there, my child. I'm in the coaster with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Taking his yoke upon you, it isn't an extra burden to add to all the other burdens you used to have. Because his burden is light. His burden is light and freeing. So firstly, coming to Jesus means surrendering control to him and saying, I want to be joined to him. But secondly, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, when we come to Jesus, we come to him as our master and Lord, and we say, I want to share your yoke. I want to be joined to you. Through thick and thin, I want to be with you, Jesus. But secondly, it's coming to him as our teacher. We come to him in the mindset that he knows best, that he's going to teach us what we need to know, and that by learning from him, we'll go deeper into that promised rest that he offers. See, when I first came to Jesus, I knew I was forgiven. I can't explain it, but I just knew that day he opened my eyes that he was forgiven. And I couldn't fully articulate why I was forgiven or how I was forgiven. I just knew that I was forgiven. I came to Jesus and he gave me that rest. It was only later, as I learned from him, as I understood more about what he accomplished for me when he died on the cross at the end of his life and rose from the grave, that I learned that on the cross he bore all my sins and he took all my burdens so I could rest, so I don't have to achieve his favor anymore. I learned that when he rose from the grave, I was raised with him as a fully accepted child of God, and so I could rest in his security and grace. I learned from him that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And so even in the midst of the storms of life, I know he is there with me. These are all things that I didn't know at first. He still gave me his promised rest when I came. But as he taught me and as he teaches you, you'll grow deeper into that rest. So let me ask you, will you come to him this morning? Wandering soul who's never fully come to Jesus, will you come to him this morning? But listen, weary Christian who needs to be refreshed, will you come to Jesus this morning? Will you come home to Jesus? Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you want to come to Jesus and receive his promised rest this morning, then I'm going to finish by reading a hymn that somebody wrote about this subject to articulate how they wanted to come to Jesus. I'm going to give us a time of quiet first, because you don't have to do it this way. You literally just have to say, Jesus, I come. But after we've had a little bit of quiet, I'm just going to read this hymn out as a final prayer, and then we're done. Let's pray. just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you call me, come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waited not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to you whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all I need in you to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours, yes, yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, you will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because your promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Amen.